If God, my Father, who loves me and sent Jesus Christ to die for me and take my sin and justify me and one day going to glorify me, seated me with in the heavenlies with Christ Jesus, if he wants to harden my heart, then God's will be done in my life. But that's not what God's will is.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Hello once again. We hope you're having a great day, and we're very blessed that you've tuned in for Pastor Bill's series from the New Testament Epistle of Romans. Let's join Pastor now for today's study entitled, What Hardens a Heart?
Let's turn our Bibles this morning as we continue our study in Romans chapter 9. We're going to begin in just a moment in verse 14. Romans chapter 9, verse 14. You know, as I said last Sunday, chapters 9, 10, and 11 are the most overlooked chapters in the Bible, and especially in the book of Romans. But they should not be. And I don't blame people for leaving chapter 8 and rushing over to chapter 12, which begins the living sacrifice section. I understand that perfectly. However, these three chapters are vital to our understanding. 9, 10, and 11 have to do with two things. Primarily, most importantly, the sovereignty of God, and the next, the nation of Israel. Remember that Israel, that God's covenant with Israel is unconditional. It's eternal, unconditional covenant by God, meaning it's not based upon man's faithfulness to keep it. It's based upon the sure promises of God. Amen? Now, we know here as we look at chapter 9 and chapter 10 and chapter 11, which speaks of Israel's past, present, and future restoration at the end of the age at the second coming of Christ. We know that God has not cast off his people Israel, and that at the end of the age or at the second coming, as we come back with the Lord, setting up the millennial reign of Christ, Israel, a remnant, will be saved, as we'll study this out in 10 and 11. However, this morning as we look at this, remember that chapter 9 has to do with Israel. And the reason I say that is it tells us why Israel stumbled. The last three verses of chapter 9, they stumbled over the way God chose to save mankind. They thought they were the only people, the only chosen people, not the Gentiles, which that's us. And also they stumbled over their Messiah, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. So with all that being said, I do know that chapters 9 through 11, they are very, very difficult and challenging chapters. But, oh, we should never neglect them. This morning, I pray your hearts are opened as I want to speak from these verses, not finish chapter 9 today, but a few verses beginning in 14 on what hardens a heart. Say that with me. What hardens a heart? We're going to find out. In verse 14, and what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? And Paul says, absolutely not, certainly not. God was never unjust. He's never been unjust. And he wasn't unjust, remember last week, when he selected Isaac over Ishmael or Jacob over Esau. He chose them before they'd ever done anything good or bad, before they were ever born. Now, God, again, is sovereign. He's free to do anything he wants because he is God. We don't run creation. He runs creation because he created it. The very breath that we have this morning belongs and comes from our Savior. Amen? Now, with all that being said here, you know, God is free to do what he pleases. And whatever he does, remember, is always perfect and just. Moses tells us that, as does the psalmist. The psalmist has written in Psalm 115 that God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. Deuteronomy 32, 4 and following teach us that God is a God of justice. He is completely without injustice. It's not even in his being. Everything he does, it says, he is our rock. He is perfect in all the things that he does. Now in verse 15, we begin our text. It says, for he says to Moses, now he's going to quote Exodus 33:19. He says to Moses, I will have, what's that word? Mercy. I will have mercy, God says, on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. Very, very important scripture. That's from chapter 33. Let's go to chapter 32. Remember, Moses was on the mount. He was before God all alone receiving the Ten Commandments, remember? And while he was up there, down below, what did Aaron and all the children of Israel, what did they start doing? They got the earrings off and their bracelets off and their cowboy rings and all the rest of it. You know what I'm saying? They melted them all down. And what happened? There came the calf that Aaron made and carved out, and they began to worship the calf and have a party, and horrible things were going on. They were all drunk and wasted because Moses had failed to come down. They were worried. They thought he was dead, thought he was gone. Then Moses, God says, Moses, you better get down. They're having a party. He comes down. And of course, you know what happened. 3,000 people die because of that sin. Now, when it gets to the next chapter, in chapter 33, Moses is begging God. He's going before the Lord and interceding for the nation. And Moses says, Lord, you've called me your friend. And if your presence, if it doesn't go with me, if it doesn't go with us, Lord, we don't want to go. Forgive your people. And then Moses said something that is one of the greatest requests in the Bible in Exodus 33, 18, I believe it is. He says, Lord, show me your glory. What an incredible request. The Bible says that God spoke to Moses face to face as a friend speaks one to another. And he says, Lord, would you show me your glory? Remember what he does? He hides Moses in the cleft of the rock. He says, Moses, I'm going to pass by you. You can't look upon my face because the day you see me, you will die. But you can see after I pass my backward or the afterglow. And then what did Moses see? Let me read it to you from Exodus 34, 5. Now the Lord descended in a cloud and stood with him there. Can you imagine that? Here's Moses, and the glory of the Lord's descending and stood right in front of him. And then the Lord proclaimed, it says, the name of the Lord, and the name of the Lord. And then he says, and the Lord passed before Moses and proclaimed. He put his hand there. Remember, he says, here's the deal, Moses, the Lord God. And here's that word, merciful. God, he says, you want to see who I really am? You want to see my attributes? You want to know my true character? He says, I am the Lord God, merciful and gracious and long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands. The book of James says that mercy always triumphs over judgment. Did you know God would rather show us mercy than judgment any day? He says, in keeping mercy, he goes on, to thousands, forgiving their transgressions and their iniquities and their sins. Oh, God is a merciful God. And here in our text, loved one, the reason I'm spending so much time on mercy is because in the book of Romans, over and over again, we have learned and understood the grace of God. But now we come to the very first mention of the word mercy in Romans. Let me read to you from Wiest, my Greek study Bible, on the way it's translated by him. He says this, I will have mercy on anyone, whoever he is, that I will show mercy to in the future. Listen, that's an Old Testament word that we're reading. God, the God of the Old Testament, is the same God of the New Testament. Amen? The Bible teaches us that God never changes. Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is a merciful God. Listen, if you study out the New Testament, where it says in 1 Corinthians 1, 3, that God is the Father of all mercies, meaning he's the source of every mercy. He's the God of all comfort, the source of all comfort. That's the same God in the Old Testament. See, God doesn't change. You know, when you read in the Bible, in Luke 1:78 on the Christmas story, it says that he has a tender heart of mercy. When we read about being saved in Ephesians 2:4, it tells us that our God is rich in mercy, lavish in mercy, overflowing in mercy. The Bible teaches us in Hebrews 4:16 that we can run with confidence to the throne of grace where we can obtain mercy and help in time of need. Why? Well, because Hebrews 2:17 says we have a merciful and faithful high priest who loves us. Amen? Listen, God is so merciful. The psalmist has written in Psalm 86, 5, he says, for you, Lord, oh, you're good. You're so ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all of those who will call upon you. Now listen, God's sovereignty throughout the whole word of God is always expressed in mercy, not just his raw, unbelievable power that he has. Always in mercy. Now look at verse 16. So then it, meaning God's mercy and compassion, is not of him who wills. In other words, you can't earn God's mercy, nor of him who runs. You can't God's mercy because of your conduct or my conduct or man's deeds or any of that. It says, but of God who shows mercy. God's mercy is to the just and unto the unjust alike. Is that true? Absolutely. He is a merciful God. He is always merciful. No one deserves his mercy, but he's merciful. And you can't earn his mercy. Now look at verse 17 as we begin now. What is a hard heart? Let's look as we begin our sermon now, verse 17. It says, for the scripture says to Pharaoh, now we're going to quote Exodus 9:16 if you're taking notes. He says, for this very purpose, I have, God says, I've done something. I've raised you up that I may show or demonstrate my power in you and that my name may be declared in all of the earth. That word declare means to announce everywhere and also to generation after generation to after generation. And guess what? I'm announcing it to you this morning. Amen? Now, watch this now. And he says, therefore, he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills, he, what? Hardens. Oh, there's that scripture. There's that one that hundreds and hundreds of books have been written about. Lengthy books. You could, matter of fact, go buy one, you'll fall asleep reading it. You know what I'm saying? And you can buy, oh, it's not going to help you. I mean, oh, some of them will help you. Don't get me wrong. But listen, this verse, verse 18, whom he wills, whoever God wants to, he hardens. Let's be sure that we really understand what this scripture isn't saying, okay? What it isn't saying about Pharaoh before we get into it. In other words, God did not create Pharaoh to be some kind of wicked, horrible, evil tyrant, okay? God didn't do that. And God did not force, nor does he force anyone to sin. Okay, are y'all with me? Very important. Now, I'm going to get to my sermon, but you got to really get this into your heart. Listen, this scripture is not teaching, as many teach, but it's not teaching that God chose Pharaoh's eternal destiny before he was ever born. This is not what this scripture is saying at all. What does this scripture say? It says that God raised Pharaoh up, meaning brought him upon to the world stage. Why? That he might reveal himself to all of the world and to every generation. Are you following me? In other words, if we're going to read the text, let's at least interpret it the right way. And you say, yes, Bill, but listen, God did something. Look what he did. He hardened Pharaoh's heart, okay? Let's ask some questions. Number one, how was that accomplished? And number two, when was Pharaoh's heart made hard? In order to understand that, you have to go back all the way to the very first foundational scripture, which many of those who teach that God hardens people's hearts, okay, they never go back to this scripture. They go to another scripture, okay, ahead of it. We go back to the foundational scripture, all right? And that scripture is found in the burning bush. Whenever God is calling Moses to go, he heard the cries of the children of Israel. He says, I'm going to send you to deliver them from Pharaoh. And God told Moses, here comes Exodus 3:19. That's our foundational scripture. God says this, listen carefully, but I am sure, God says, I'm absolutely certain that the king of Egypt will not let you go, meaning the children of Israel. Not even by a mighty hand. He says, but I will stretch out my hand. I will strike Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in its midst. And after that, Pharaoh will let you go. Now, what did that just tell us? That scripture, which is the foundational scripture that we move forward on, it tells us that Pharaoh's heart was hard way before the word was ever given out. Are you following me? Before a word was said about God hardening his heart. See, his heart was already hard. How did God know that? because God knows everything. Amen? Listen, that's God's divine foreknowledge. He knew in detail exactly what Pharaoh was going to do, what he wasn't going to do, and that he wasn't going to let his people go. Now, the first meeting that happened with Moses and Pharaoh occurs in Exodus 5:2. Let me read it to you. Moses, first, he finally meets him, and he says, God says, let my people go. And Pharaoh says, well, who is the Lord? Who's this guy? Who's that I should obey? I'm going to obey his voice and to let Israel go. I don't know the Lord. He doesn't have any authority over me. I don't even know his name, nor will I let Israel go. That's exactly what God told Moses all the way back in Exodus 3. Are you following me? Before it ever happened, that his heart was already hard. Listen, Pharaoh considered himself a god. He was worshiped as a god. He was the supreme ruler, the mighty ruler of all the land of Egypt, and he was responsible for his own actions, if you will. Not only that, his heart was already hard. Now, there are many words, or really just three, in Exodus that speaks of the hardening process of the heart. And it also says this. If you'll look at it and study out Exodus, you'll find that, first of all, Pharaoh's heart was self-produced. Scripture after scripture says Pharaoh hardened his own heart. And yes, you're going to find many scriptures that says that God hardened his heart as well. Now, the word to harden there literally means to be made strong or to be made stubborn or whatever. God is saying, okay, you have a hard heart, and I'm going to use your hard heart to demonstrate my power and declare my name. But here's the deal. Now, what really, because his heart was already hard, what hardened the heart of Pharaoh? Maybe you have a hard heart. I pray you don't. But what caused yours if you do? Well, in Pharaoh's case, we know what it was. It was the 10 judgments or the 10 plagues that God sent upon the land of Egypt. If you'll study out Exodus chapter 7 through 10, you'll find out that the first, what was the first plague? Oh, please, somebody. No, not lice, not locusts. Listen, no, yes, turn the Nile River to blood. Now, why the Nile River? Because, see, the Nile River was worshipped as a god. Do you understand? That was one of the gods of Egypt. And God says, that's not much of a god. I'm going to make it a bloody mess. I'm going to kill all the fish. It's going to stink. And this whole land is going to stink with dead fish. You follow me? God says, no. Oh, listen. And then it says, what else? It says, you know, Pharaoh, and when that happened, what happened? It says Pharaoh hardened his heart over and over and over and over. And then here come the frogs. And I'm not talking about TCU. You understand? You know, and frogs were the god of fertility. All right. And remember, the frogs came right out of the river. They jumped into the beds. They were in the frying pans. They were in the netting bowls. They were on the hair. They were everywhere, all over the land of Egypt. And then what did Moses do? He went over and picked up a little bit of dust and went and blew it. And guess what came? All the lice. Do you like lice? Can you imagine that? A bloody, stinking river. I mean, and all the things that are happening there. And then frogs all over you. Then lice all over you in your ears and up your nose and all the rest of it. And then they sent the swarms of flies. And in the Hebrew, it would be literally the blood-sucking flies. Now you have the lice. Now you got the frogs. Now you have all over you biting on. Blood's running out. I think, hello? Man, I would repent. I repent for everybody. Dear Lord. And then it keeps on and on. And then the next thing, the livestock, they all die and so forth. And then boils appear all over your body, man and beast. And then after that, it says the heavy hail mingled with fire came down. And then all of a sudden after that, those chompers, the locust, they stripped Egypt bare. There was nothing left. Stinking dead fish, lice all over your body, slimy frogs crawling into your house. Are you listening to me? All the horrible things. And then finally, 3 days of darkness. The Bible says a darkness that could be felt. And then after that, the one plague that finally did it in. When the firstborn of Egypt, man and beast, they all died. That was the last plague, even that in Pharaoh's house. And it says there was a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt. And it says in Exodus 9:34, and when Pharaoh saw all of this, and he says, oh, he sinned yet more, and he hardened his heart, he and his servants. His heart was so hard. Question, did God, through the plagues, if you'll study them out, didn't God offer him every chance to repent. Come on, every opportunity. And you say, well, Bill, God had already hardened his heart. No, whoa, wait a minute. The reason that God was waiting was because of his mercy and compassion. God's not willing that any should perish, okay? God hasn't changed. The Old Testament God, same as the New Testament God. No, listen, he wouldn't let his people go. And God, as some people say and teach, God made Pharaoh where he could not repent. That's not true. God wants everyone to repent. He refused. His heart was hardened. Verse 19, and you will say to me then, well, why does he still find fault? I mean, how can God find anything wrong? Not only that, for who has resisted his will? In other words, if God hardened our hearts, or God hardened Pharaoh's heart, okay, how in the world could you punish him because God did it? Are you listening to me? In other words, if God's the one who made all the decisions and all of the choices, and Pharaoh didn't have a choice, how can you punish a person when he didn't have really anything to do with it? He was being completely controlled. Does that make sense? No. Listen, no, that's not the way it works. You know, the Hebrew word there for harden literally means to be made firm. Every time the hardening process happened in Pharaoh's heart, God, yes, what did he do? He just said, okay, I'm going to just confirm your decision. God didn't make that decision for him. Do you understand? He was confirming the decision that Pharaoh was making. And when that happened, his heart became harder and harder, more stubborn and more stubborn. Now listen, the world that we live in, the people of the world that don't know the Lord, the thing is that they're not lost because they're hardened. They're hardened because they are lost. Their hearts are numb to the Lord. See, a person has to be born again. The natural man doesn't discern the things of the Spirit, neither can he, for they're spiritually discerned. And so here, the lost, and so we live in a world with a people that are lost, one big hard heart. You know what? I found that God is the one who changes hard hearts, not gives hard hearts. Amen? That's the Savior that we serve. Look at verse 20 now. But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? In other words, he's God. Don't bring a charge against God. He's perfect, okay? Well, will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Does not the potter or the creator have the power, the right, the authority over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? Now listen carefully. To know your text, always read your context. In context, yes, we know who he's speaking about, Esau and Pharaoh. Remember? Okay. And then Jacob and so forth. Now, God didn't cause any of them to choose evil or to do evil, did he? No, God doesn't do those things. He used their own wicked choices for his purposes. And don't forget that 9, 10, and 11, we're looking at the nation of Israel. But God is sovereign. He can do anything he wants. Do you understand? He can do anything that he wants. And the problem today and the problem then is that man has taken God, the creator, and they've placed him everywhere in the universe except the place that he belongs, and that is on his throne. Amen? He is God. He is good. He controls everything. That's why the Bible says in Psalm 95:6, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our maker, for he is God, and we're the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. Now listen carefully. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Don't harden your hearts if you hear the voice of the Lord. Listen, God has the right to take the clay, and we are made of the earth, and form it any way that he wants to form it, okay? He's God. But I know that God says something in his word. I mean, here we are, we're the clay, and he goes, listen, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen? We know that God loves us. I would be terrified of a man being the potter. I mean, can you imagine the person who makes those skinny, tight jeans? I mean, I'm going to shape Bill. You can't even bend over in those things, man.
Unfortunately, we are out of time for today, but Pastor Bill will conclude this message on tomorrow's program, and we look forward to seeing you once again. We appreciate you spending some of your day with us, and until next time, may the Lord bless you. Good day, everyone.
If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.